Okay, we are back. You are listening to Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. I'm sitting this morning with Kemp Haar. Kemp is the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's also a partner in the website floordaily.net. This is the first time we've done this face-to-face, as I can recall.
That's right. I know. This is a little early for me to be getting up and being here with you, but, you know, it's good to get together.
It's almost better when I don't see you. Just kidding. Kemp is in Dalton this morning, and he came in for yesterday's CRI meeting, which we're going to talk about in a couple of minutes. But first, I wanted to ask you about Greenbuild. We talked to you last week. You were on your way to Greenbuild, as I recall, just before breakfast, I think.
I was in Chicago, but had not gone to the meeting yet. That's right.
Gone to the meeting yet. You spent a couple of days there. It was at McCormick Place. What's your take on the whole show?
Well, I got to say, overall, unbelievable experience. But you know, right after we hung up, I felt like saying I wanted to call you back and talk to you again. You know, Greenbuild has grown so fast that they really didn't manage the whole process of taking care of the lions. The lions were horrible. But aside from that, I mean, you get beyond the lions. You know, it was unbelievable. Their attendance was up 70% from the year before. I think they had over 20,000 people there. They had it, you know, in Chicago. And when you have a meeting like that, an expo where you're not only, you know, having a convention center type of thing, but they also had a lot of these seminars, and I was really impressed with the attendance. I had a couple of, you know, man on the street type of interview situations where I talked to a few people, and I mean, there were some core decision makers that were there, some people that were specifying materials and were there to learn. So I mean, like, again, you have the ex-president of the United States talking. That alone brought about 8,000 people into the meeting space in the first the first morning of the show, and then you have all the people that were there and exhibiting. I mean, they had, I think the exhibitor take or the count on exhibitors was up 80%. So I mean, finally, I think this convention, and, you know, if you've been, this is, I think this was the sixth one, and if you've been back to the other ones, the one in Atlanta, the one in Denver, they were coming along, but this one was mainstream.
Each show has just grown dramatically, and perhaps there's not enough warm bodies at the USGBC to handle all that dramatic growth.
Well, and I just think they're going to really have to address making people, you know, simple things like if you're pre-registered, they need to send you the badge in the mail so that you don't have to stand in line. So, you know, I'm not even sure, you know, what all the causes were, but there were a lot of lines. And they've grown up, and they just need to take the staffing, I guess, to the next level, if you will. But anyway, let me talk to you, if you will, give me a minute or two, just to talk to you about some of the things that were very interesting. As I've said in the past, the proportion of flooring exhibitors versus all the other building material companies that are there, I mean, I haven't done the math yet, but I've got to say at least 40, if not 50% of the space in the exhibit hall was taken up by flooring people. And, you know, you've got the usual folks that are always, you know, big at the show. Like, you know, you had Shaw and Mohawk and Interface and Bentley and, you know, there's a long list. Tandis was there, Mannington Commercial. You had Antron there. But, I mean, you have those. You know those, they're going to be there. They've been there several years. But there were some new folks that were there. There was, on the hard surface side. Armstrong has always been there, but they were there in big presence, and they had some big news. And we'll need to definitely get to that in a minute, because from a product standpoint, they probably had some of the biggest news. But the biggest booth, as I said last time we spoke, was the Shaw booth, and their message, you know, was key. It's the whole cradle to cradle theme. It's about evergreen. It's about nylon 6 and the fact that they can take nylon 6 over and over and turn it back into nylon 6 without a loss of performance. That whole waste of energy thing they're doing at Plant 81. The biodiesel thing. Did you realize Shaw has the 15th largest trucking fleet in the country? You know, and they're using, you know, several hundred thousand gallons of biodiesel that was there. And then their national collection system had a map that showed all the collection points. And, you know, this whole post-consumer bringing things back, you know, to where they can, you know, recycle it. That was all there.
Did you say last week when we talked that a lot of the space was dedicated to residential type products, retail type products, as opposed to commercial. It's been, at least for our business, primarily a commercial show.
It has been. I think last year in Denver, when they started talking about lead for homes, they started to get more of the residential people, the more of the general contractors and the builders who want to do the right things. So last year you started to see some of it. I think this year, since it was back in Chicago, where there's a lot of specifiers on the commercial side, there probably was maybe a 60-40 mix. I mean, I'm just guessing at that. There's nothing scientific about that. But I'm thinking it was still 60% commercial at least. But several of the companies that we talk about, you know, the flooring-based companies that do business on both sides, both residential and commercial, they were definitely talking about both products. So Shaw was there talking about, you know, their whole program. And
both sides of the fence.
Right.
Let me jump in there. We need to take a short break. We're talking this morning with Kemp Haar. He is the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. Right now we're talking about Greenbuild, which was held last week at McCormick Place in Chicago. We're going to pause. We'll be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. Kemp Haar's with us this morning, the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. We're looking back at the week in the floor covering business, and we're starting off talking about Greenbuild 2007, held at McCormick Place in Chicago. Kemp was present. We were talking about the presence that Shaw had, which I think you said was extremely large.
Well, it was the just as far as square footage, it was the largest booth, definitely.
Now, this was the first time they really had something to talk about in terms of residential products. A lot more people there, and what sort of feedback did they get, if you have any way of measuring?
And that may be something you may want to actually try to interview the Rick Ramirez and see if he could give you some of that, because I talked to them early on in the show and really couldn't give you a good read on the after the fact. They've got a lot to talk about, and I think we've gone through a couple of key points. But you know, basically it's the fact that they can take ingredients. Carpet, take the ingredients apart and put them back into the same application.
And they have this collection system.
That's right. That's right.
Did you see more of the show aimed toward the residential market than had been traditional?
Yeah, let me be clear how I answer that. There was a residential component, but there was certainly still a major commercial component. So I would say if anybody that's strictly in the residential market is thinking about going to this show, they may be disappointed. But those companies that do both the commercial and residential that have a message around both of those segments of the market, they were there with both messages. And again, I think most of them spent a majority, you know, 60 or 70% of the attendees were probably focused on the commercial sector.
Well, the whole effort of the USGBC has primarily been on the commercial side and has only really added the residential side of late. So I suspect every year we're going to see that grow.
Yeah, let me make sure. I'd like to take you, if you'll humor me, man, I'd like to take you through a couple of the booths and tell you a little bit about what's going on. All right. First off, just from a product standpoint, I mentioned this earlier, Armstrong rolled out a product, and since the show, I think we've run the release on the website, floordaily.net, but you know, they've come out with a new product that they're calling Migrations BBT, and it's a very interesting story behind that. I think BBT stands for bio-based tile. They don't really say that in anything that they're putting out, but it's got to be what it is, and it's also, you know, kind of, since it replaces VCT, there's a little bit of a rhyme to it. But amazing story, very interesting story. They are taking a what's historically been a vinyl product, and I don't know if you read Dave our survey from the top 250 design survey we did in October. But one of the things that the designers was telling us is that they are looking for, on the hard surface side, they're looking for some products that have a real green story. And so, I mean, they were saying that, and then, you know, I mean, obviously Armstrong's been working on this for a long time, but they are definitely giving the market what they're looking for, because they're coming out with a product that replaces VCT that has no vinyl in it whatsoever. As a matter of fact, the as you probably know, VCT is you know, mostly limestone, and this product is mostly limestone, but the glue or the plasticizer or whatever that holds it all together in this new product, instead of being vinyl, is made from corn. And it's a domestically grown corn, and so they were getting a lot of attention over this product.
I should say, because, I mean, VC or vinyl in general, PVC, has been ruffling a lot of feathers
right.
in the sustainability community. So I suspect, and I think as Armstrong mentioned in their announcement, that certainly linoleum has been very popular, very expensive, a lot of downside to it, aside from being a very sustainable product. So I suspect this is going to be looked at very favorably by the architectural and building community.
Well, it's key for a couple of reasons. One is, you know, it's from the biggest company. You know, Armstrong is the biggest in the business when it comes to, you know, resilient flooring. And, you know, they offer, and several other companies, Forbo for one, you know, have offered a linoleum product, which has a much higher price point initially, but, you know, does have maybe a longer life and has its own, you know, economic model. But, you know, here's a product now that's very interesting because of the fact that it has no vinyl in it. Mm-hmm. And it still, I think, meets the price point that's required, you know, for the applications where VCT went.
And some other attributes. We need to take a break now and we'll talk about those.
All right.
Ken Parr's with us this morning from Floor Focus Magazine and FloorDaily.net. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. Kemp Haar is with us this morning. He is the publisher of Floor Focus Magazine. He's a partner in the website FloorDaily.net. We're talking about Greenbuild, which was held last week in Chicago, and specifically about Armstrong and their new bio-based tile. And as I understand, the attributes of this new tile are superior to the products that it's replacing.
That's right. I mean, not only does it not have the vinyl in it, yeah. You know. And by the way, for those of you interested, you know, listening to this and are interested about the product, it's going to be available this spring, and I think they're going to roll it out in about, I don't know, 28 or so different colors. But, it requires less energy to produce this product. You know, from what they can tell and some of the wear tests they've done, the performance is good. This product is made, the trials they've been making, they've been running down in Jackson, Mississippi. So, you know, this product is answering a need that's in the marketplace, and it's coming from, you know, the biggest supplier on the resilient side.
I have to imagine they got some pretty nice play at Greenbuild on the show.
It did. Now, we need to go through some of the other booths because there were a lot of other good messages. And, you know, one of our roles is to try to cut through the greenwash and tell you, you know, what's legitimate. Obviously, the Armstrong message, the Shaw message we've already discussed about, both of those were, you know, right on. And you know, Mohawk was there. Mohawk, you know, had some news. They're there with their whole Greenworks program. And, you know, they have a residential message, which they were there talking about, and they have a commercial message. And on the residential side, obviously, they're talking about their Sirona polyester product or PPT product that's made from corn, you know, domestically grown corn. And they also still are the largest recycler of drink bottles, you know, in the country. But also, you know, on the commercial side, they're talking about this new Greenworks Center they've opened in Chatsworth, Georgia, where, you know, they take the three main waste streams. It's a recycle center, you know, where they take in all, coordinate and take in all this product, and they've got waste stream outlets for both nylon 6, nylon 6-6, and polypropylene. So, you know, they do a very some things that you'll see with Interface and Tandis. You know, they take some of the product. They'll take the whole carpet, grind it up, and then put it back into the banking. And that's what they call, I think, InCycle. So, you know, that's their program. So, you know, they had a lot of buzz in their booth. And interestingly, there were a couple of bookends. So Shaw was over on one side of the hall, and Mohawk was on the other side. But, you know, both of them, when I was in their booths, they were well-traveled.
I wonder if they did that on purpose.
I don't know if the USGBC did that or not. I don't know. But we also need to talk about Interface. Interface was there in a big way. Not only were they there as Interface floor, but they were there also as Bentley Prince Street. And, you know, lots of things.
We had Anthony Minetti on one day last
week. Oh, that's right, you did. Yeah. Okay, so he probably talked about a couple of these.
The president of Bentley Prince Street.
Yeah, and I saw him at the show. You know, both of their booths were very busy. He probably, I haven't listened to your interview, but he probably talked, I think the biggest news was about their reentry 2.0 system. You know, they have devised a system where they can take, you know, any kind of carpet, whether it be broadloom or modular, and completely take it apart and put the components back in to, you know, the back into carpet again. So similar to the Shaw story, their reentry 2.0 system uses a patented process, which is different, I think, than what Shaw does, but very, very interesting process. And so they were talking about that, and they were excited about the fact that they had it up and running. And they're also talking about their Reprise product. Reprise is what they call their product line, where they actually take post-consumer recycled 6.6, and they take it back, post-consumer, and they're able to re-extrude that 6.6 and put it back into brand new carpet. So that's the only a system right now that's available in the marketplace for 6.6, and that's in conjunction with Universal Fiber.
Right.
And so they were talking about that. BPS was also real proud, and Anthony probably talked to you about this last week, about their LEED existing building certification
right.
that they just got. This is a really neat story. You know, they're a manufacturer, and it's hard to get LEED EB for a manufacturing facility, but you know, they're the first manufacturing facility, I think, in this business to get LEED certification. And I was talking to Catherine Minerviti about it, and she says, you wouldn't believe, you know, they've got to in their compost area in the back behind the plant for their whole break room food and everything, they have pet worms in the back where they bring this food and throw it in this compost. And so when they give tours, they go out and show people their pet worm farm. But there's a lot more to what they're doing there, but that, I thought that was just an amusing part of their story.
Kemp, we're running a little bit long here. Let's take a break here. We'll come back and we'll talk some more about some of the exhibitors at Greenbuild. Kemp Hodge with us this morning. He is a publisher of Floor Focus magazine. We're going to be right back. This is Floor Radio. Okay, we're back. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. Kemp Hodge with us this morning. He is the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. We're looking back at the week in the floor covering business. We've been talking about Greenbuild, which Kemp attended last week. It was in Chicago. We were talking about some of the floor covering exhibitors. There are several that we still haven't talked about. I know Millikan was there.
That's right.
We had a guest on from Millikan also. I know UTT, a Dalton organization, had some new had a new product that they rolled out, and also Mannington
Commercial. That's right. Yeah, well, let's just go in that order. Actually, let me with Millikan. First off, and they've done this for a couple of years, but they continue to, you know, be very much in the limelight when it comes to the show, because they donate carbon credits, enough carbon credits, to make this whole Greenbuild show carbon neutral. And you know, that used to be probably a fairly easy thing to do, but now when you've got over 20,000 people coming to the show, that's a lot of miles, either air miles or highway miles, that they've got to offset. So each year as the show grows, it becomes more and more of a sizable carbon unit gift that they're doing. So so they were there. I met with Bill Gregory. Some of their big news is their whole CO2 emissions standard that they're developing. They've partnered with the Leonardo Academy, and you know, their goal there is to quantify the whole CO2 emissions of their operation and develop a standard against which they can measure their, you know, effectiveness in reducing the emissions in all of their operations worldwide. And, you know, they've got plants in Shanghai. I asked Bill about that. I said, that plant in Shanghai, I said, was that built, you know, for domestic consumption? He said, yeah, 100% of what they're going to be making in that plant in Shanghai will go to the Chinese or Asian marketplace. And you know, that's their big news, is this whole thing around CO2 emissions. And, you know, they can, you know, Bill continues to do the circuit. He goes out and gives, I think, over 200 speeches a year.
Is he really?
Yeah, and talks about what Millikan, you know, is doing in the area of, you know, of sustainability. So they certainly are a leader in that area. Also, just you know, we need to talk about UTT, and you know, that's Universal Textiles Technology. That's you know, a company owned by Shelby Peoples, and that they were there. As you walked into Greenbuild, you know, naturally you had the big guys up toward the front, and as you walked back, you saw several other of the component guys. Certainly, you had. And Antron was there, and you had UTT. And with UTT, they have a very neat product they're rolling out. It's a backing system, and it's a backing system devised specifically for the hospitality market. And in that market, a lot of times they will sell a urethane attached cushion. And they've come up with a new urethane attached cushion that has soybean-based you know, polymer in it. And so they've come up with a system so where they're no longer dependent on foreign oil to make their polyurethane.
And they've been a real pioneer in that arena for several years.
That's right. So they call that product EnviroCell. It is specifically for the hospitality market. And I think I was talking to Doug Giles while we were there, and he told me that they've got several hospitality mills that are going to go completely to their new system. So that's big news. Also, before we run out of time, I want to talk about Mannington Commercial. They have a new backing system that they're talking about at Greenbuild that's called Revolve. It's a Revolve modular backing, and it contains a 10% post-consumer recycled content. The neat thing about Mannington, since they sell both carpet and resilient tile, they're able to use the waste streams of those products, you know, so they can take a carpet back and use the ground up post-consumer material and put it into their tile product, their resilient products. So they've got a neat system going, and I want to make sure I mention that. They're also working with Tricycle, you know, the marketing company that devised that whole system to eliminate the need for samples, commercial right. samples right. to designers. And so their booth was designed by Tricycle. They were at the show with a new booth. So another interesting story.
Let's take a break here, and we'll wind up.
Okay.
We're talking this morning with Kemp Haar. Kemp, the publisher of Floor Talkers magazine. He's a partner in the website floordaily.net. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. Kemp Haar is with us this morning. He is the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. We're talking about his trip to Greenbuild, which was held in Chicago at McCormick Place last week. And we pretty much talked about almost all anyway.
Well, we could.
Floor covering people that were there. I know there were some other players.
Yeah.
It just seems to me, as you were speaking, and as you had mentioned, I think in the first segment, perhaps 40% of the floor space at this show, which has grown dramatically each year, is occupied by floor covering players. And all of these players have a heck of a story to tell as it relates to sustainability. I would suspect there are few industries that can match the inroads that the floor covering industry has made when it comes to sustainability.
That's right, Dave. I mean, there was even, you know, Crossville Tile was there. Crossville, you know, is mostly focuses on the commercial side of the business. They have a recycled glass product. So, I mean, you know, it's not just carpet. You know, it goes across a lot of the components suppliers and even in some of the hard surface suppliers. So definitely, I would say that, you know, just to wrap this up about Greenbuild, this whole sustainability thing is mainstream. And you know, this is not something that's, you know, on the edge, just a little static on the edge. It's mainstream, and we're going to see more and more around this topic.
If anybody had had any doubt as to whether to initiate some sort of sustainability program, you've almost missed the boat here.
That's right.
It's time to get involved. Anyway, across the board, how would you rate the Greenbuild show on a 1 to 10 scale?
Well, as I mentioned when we first started, they got a lot to do in the area of service when it comes to, you know, working the crowd. But from, you know, an impact about what it's all about, it's, you know, double the impact of what it was last year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me change the subject here before we run out of time. Interesting IPO had taken place in the floor covering business, the retail side of the business, since we talked last, and that would be with Lumber Liquidators.
That's right.
I think they were on the front end looking for something, what, the shares to come out between 12 and 14, and I think they were a bit off from that.
Yeah, they came out below expectations, and then the first day they were trading, their stock fell 10%. So,
but I think the bottom line is, and I think it's as Tom Sullivan had said, that over the long run, the stock is going to catch up with the business, and the business has been a pretty hot property.
That's right. I don't know what they were thinking from a timing standpoint. I'm not sure if there was, you know, we talked about this earlier, I'm not sure if there was one of the three owners that was looking to get out or what, and we'll never know the real story behind that. But, I mean, timing-wise, they probably couldn't have picked a worse time to go out. But the fact remains is that while the wood market is soft right now, if you look at some of the projections for the next few years, you know, it's going to level off in 2009. And according to Market Insight Santo Tresivia, it looks like the wood market may take off and grow as much as 12% in 2009. So and I guess that, you know, they're poised and now public. So that might be a good investment a year from now.
Well, I don't think there's any question about it. And of course, I think every week we've talked about how bad the housing market is, and the expectations seem to be getting worse, if anything. And I suspect that probably if we did that this week, which we're not going to,
yeah,
we would say the same thing.
Right.
But it's destined to improve, and I think the wood side of that business is going to improve, as you said, pretty dramatically. And I think we're going to see Lumber Liquidators do an exceptional job. I think, I don't remember exactly the numbers, but somewhere between 30 and 40 stores over the next several years. They're going to be, they are a player, they will be even a bigger player.
That's right. And, you know, for those of you that want to watch them, their symbol is as easy as LL on the New York Stock Exchange. And you know, that right now, I think I checked them again this morning, and they were still down there around around a little over $9. But you know, I guess they're gonna, you know, probably hold there for a little while, and then as the market starts to recover, they are in a good position with they have a plan to have 300 stores by the year, you know, 2011, which is not that far away. So
it's an interesting concept. I don't think it's particularly fancy. But I think they've been doing exceptionally well. And one of the comments that I think the CEO made, Jeffrey Griffith, is, and I think he was asked about the subprime situation and his sales, and he made a comment that something to the effect that the customers, as a general rule, are higher than average income customers, and he didn't feel like this whole subprime situation was having a whole lot of effect, if any effect, on the organization.
I did read that. I'm not sure if, you know, that wasn't spent or not. But anyway, that's one perspective. I mean, yeah, if the whole financial community in the U.S. is not affected by this subprime thing, then possibly he's insulated from it. But that's what he was saying.
Maybe insulated more than some of the do-it-yourself walk-in types. Let's take a break here.
Okay.
We've got one more segment. Kemp Haar is with us this morning. He is the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. We have Camp Lahar with us this morning in person. Camp is a publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's also a partner in the website floordaily.net. We're looking back at some of the events in the floor covering business that have taken place in the floor covering business over the last 7 days. And we had talked, I guess, last week, perhaps the week before as well, about Hoboken. And I think last week we had mentioned the fact that the company had filed Chapter 7 bankruptcy. We had known they had closed their doors. We had known that there were some people in Wayne, New Jersey that were locked out, etc. And I think we've been hearing repercussions all over this industry, and we will continue to, I think, as time goes forward. One of the things I think we didn't mention, which I wanted to make sure to mention this morning, was the fact that they will be liquidating. It's not your typical, well, it's not a Chapter 11.
No, that's right.
And basically, it's all over.
Yeah.
Take down the tent.
If we owe you money, get in line. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I don't suspect there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be happy that are waiting in that line.
You know, Dave, we do occasionally get some emails after we do this show. And I think last week, after we talked about this whole Hoboken thing, we got several emails from people that said, aren't you going to talk about this company? And aren't you going to about Superior and some of these other things? And so, you know, we certainly can't make the news. We have to wait until we hear the news. And
well, of course, Superior as a part closed when I think we had covered that in a way that the East Coast operations had closed. And of course, that was Superior. And I think the next thing is the suppliers.
That's
which
right.
Which suppliers to them are going to be feeling this the most, and what as a result is going to happen with them.
So. Yeah, I would hope that you know, the folks that are owed some money by Hoboken will be able to get out of this with you know, at least some of the money they're owed. So we're tuned in, and if anybody's got any more news in this area, you should definitely let us know by, you know, contacting us at my email is kemp@floorfocus.com, or Dave, yours is davefoster@floordaily.net.
Exactly right. One more comment that I wanted to make before we run out of time, which we're just about ready to do here. Mirage has added a whole slew of new distributors, and I don't think we've mentioned this, and this has been over the last several weeks. Ohio Valley Floor, Wheeler out of Orlando, and I think there's also Belknap out of Connecticut covering the Northeast. Some quick moves there, and I think a formidable distribution organization that they've been setting up here over the last, well, I guess for the whole year, but a lot of activity here over the last month or two, I would say.
That is one, the only thing I can say about Mirage. You know, every time our magazine does surveys, you know, about the players in the hardwood market, they get unbelievable scores when it comes to quality. They are on top of the game. A Canadian-based hardwood producer that just is off the charts when it comes to quality. So, they probably aren't having any trouble, you know, having distributors that are going to represent them in this country.
Well, I think, too, it's a slow time. It's a good time to get this part of their business done. And so when things do come back, they'll be poised to really take advantage of it.
Right.
On that note, we're out of here. Before they close the door, I'm at the radio station.
All right. Good to see you.
It was a pleasure.
Yep.
We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
We've been talking with Kemp Lahar. He is the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's a partner in the website floordaily.net. This is Floor Radio.